Hi everyone, this is Janice, your neighborhood nutritionist. I've spent the last couple of years helping busy office professionals upgrade their health through upgrading their nutrition. And one thing was very obvious. Nobody's got time to read up on all the scientific stuff to know fact from fiction. So each week, I will talk to you about a different topic or concept in nutrition in simple, everyday terms, so you are empowered to make the best nutritional decisions. Get ready to learn about some new stuff, gain new insights into old concepts, and super boost your health. Hey, did you know most people make New Year's resolutions and never see them through? January is now over and many of you may feel like you're losing steam. So I've created this 30-day feel-good challenge to help you get back on track with your well-being goals. It's completely free, you can start anytime, swap the suggested activities around to whatever suits you, there are no weird foods, tough workouts, and you don't need any special equipment to join. Sign up today to get access to your 30-day feel-good challenge calendar at www.notadiet.co.uk/feelgood30-signup. The link is also in the show notes of this episode. Once again, it's free and super simple, and you'll feel great. So today I have the pleasure of having Jennifer on, who is a dietitian by profession turned functional medicine certified health coach. So Jennifer, welcome to my podcast and thank you so much for coming here today.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you today.
So as I've just introduced you, you started off your career as a dietitian and then you decided to have your own coaching business. Kind of specializing on functional medicine. Maybe can you tell us a little bit about what that journey looked like and how you got here today?
Sure. My whole life, my whole career has been spent in healthcare and health and wellness. 24 years of experience now, and even a master's degree in human nutrition. And what I was starting to see is just a severe decline of our healthcare system, which really should be called sick care. Even as a dietitian, it's amazing. The training was so focused on disease and disease management, which is very, very interesting. And so as I started to see just this huge decline in a healthcare system and got so disenchanted with that, you know, the word dietitian has the word diet in it. And so it was very focused on diet. And I just saw how that was not working to just give someone a diet and maybe help them set their goals and then kind of send them along their way. And they weren't able to adhere to that diet. We weren't fully addressing all the issues that were present. And it was also about the same time that I was starting to get very, very frustrated with my health. I felt like I was doing the right things. I was eating right and I was trying to get exercise in, but I kept the way I was feeling and just some things that were out of whack in my life. I thought, what am I missing? So it was that journey of what am I missing? And there's got to be something besides traditional healthcare that's not meeting people's needs that led me to functional medicine. And functional medicine is a lifestyle medicine. Excuse me. It is that that approach of why. So if someone can't lose weight, why can they not lose weight? If someone's struggling with depression and anxiety, why is that? So instead of the traditional medicine approach of what is it and what medicine can we throw at it, functional medicine asks the question why and truly seeks to get to the root of the issue. And so it was this journey of searching that led me to functional medicine.
Yeah, I think that really resonated with me when you said, is it healthcare or sick care? Because, you know, if you trace back to how our ancestors lived, there is no such thing as a painkiller, right? They don't have, I don't know what they're called in America, but, you know, paracetamol, ibuprofen, you don't have these things, right? If you have a wound,
you probably would eat certain things, drink certain things, or create a herbal rub, that kind of thing. And people eat with the seasons and all of that. And I think over the years, with the advancement of the medical industry, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think medicine is a great help to a lot of other things. But when it comes to the more day-to-day ailment, I think it has really changed everybody's perspectives in terms of blocking out pain when pain is a signal from your body that something is wrong.
Yes.
And for me, this is not going in the right direction. I mean, if it sounds very simple, right? If we can maintain our health normally, those situations should be kept at a minimum. And therefore, we shouldn't be having issues like, you know, what is it that they say with antibiotics? Our own body's immune systems are quite often damaged.
Yes,
and then even, definitely. You know, viruses and bacteria are building resistance against medicine. And I just think that is a really important thing for everybody to remember, that for the most part, if you don't have any serious health conditions, you shouldn't need to self-medicate that often.
Yes, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And it's so important that we stop taking things at face value, and that we really empower others to practice mindfulness. And mindfulness is simply listening to your body. Your body's going to give you signals to indicate, hey, what's going on here? And this is what I need. That's so your body is sending these signals. It's so important that we learn to listen to that. It's just that aspect of self-care. But self-care really does start with, if we take a step back, it starts with mindfulness and listening to our body. And we have never been taught that. So traditional medicine does not ever teach that. You know, traditional medicine is this model where a doctor walks in and he walks out very, very quickly. And I'm not saying anything against our physicians, and they've done such an amazing job this year, especially. But remember, a doctor is not a standalone. So even if a doctor's taking too much time with the patient and listening to them, he or she's going to get a lot of pressure from their healthcare administrator. There's always someone above them, and it's all about efficiency. It's all about money. It's not about patient care, and it's certainly not about getting to the root of the issue. So that's where we have to break away in our thinking and become our own best advocates. Can we take our own health into our own hands and become our best advocate?
Yeah, and I think, you know, thinking back to when I was a child, I think, you know, I had a different doctor, you know, a pediatrician, and it felt more like a real relationship, if that makes sense, that he's yes. been there since I was born. And therefore, he knows everything there is to know about my medical history. So when I go to him with a problem, that process is completely different. It's not a checkbox exercise of, do you have symptom A, B, C, D, E? And therefore, you must have this. It's with a true understanding of, okay, how was her health throughout her childhood? What's the most likely situation causing this? Whereas now, as you said, it's all about efficiency. It's all about cost. And I was, someone told me in the UK health industry that on average, I think doctors get about 10 minutes per patient. Mm-hmm. And quite often you will find that, I'm sure it's similar in the US, but with general practices, you don't always get to see the same doctor. Sometimes yeah. it's, you know, on a rotational basis. So it's an interesting thing to think about of how can someone really know you within 10 minutes if they've never treated you before.
Yes. And how can you really define everything that's going on with your health in, you know, 9 to 10 short minutes? Like that time goes by very quickly. And of course, you know, I think the fallback is, well, everything's in the chart. But again, even, and I know it's this way in the States, it is all very, it's all very separated. So you see a different doctor for your heart. You see a different doctor for your GI system. And if you happen to have all of these different doctors that treat different body parts, they never communicate. And so mm-hmm. we have got to look at how the body works together as a whole, and not just the body, but the mind and the soul. So that body, mind, and soul approach is that holistic, whole life approach. And that is what is so very important. And that's where we notice true harmony, where we're taking that, you know, that approach of body, mind, and soul. And that's what we're going for. I hate the word balance. We're going for harmony in our life. And it's taking those very small and simple changes so that we can experience some of that intentional harmony in our life.
So I guess on the topic of functional medicine, almost to play devil's advocate and also to educate myself, you know, I have done a little bit of reading around what functional medicine is, and we'll come to that in a minute so that you can walk us through, you know, what it actually means. But on something as public and as accessible as Wikipedia, for example, I'm reading that functional medicine is an alternative medicine. It's a form of alternative medicine. And it's been described as pseudoscience, quackery. And I'm reading that in the States, functional medicine practices have been ruled ineligible for course credits by the American Academy of Family Physicians because of concerns they may be harmful. Now, this all sounds quite controversial. And what can you tell us about, you know, has it progressed? Are people developing more confidence about functional medicine?
It's such a great question. I'm so glad you brought up this topic. It is. It's very controversial. And I think it's interesting when you've got, you know, mainstream media calling it alternative medicine, as in alternative meaning you abandon traditional medicine. Speaking just from personal experience and my functional medicine doctor, she is an internal medicine doctor. And so, but her first approach is to use that holistic approach and truly get to the root of the issue. So I noticed this, and this was before I began my functional medicine training. It started with me going to a functional medicine doctor and being just completely shocked. She spent an hour and a half with me on my first visit, an hour and a half. And I don't have a whole lot of significant health issues, but just an hour and a half looking at my health from the time I was born all the way up to now, and what my life is like and what my stress is like and if I'm getting sleep and what I'm consuming, and truly trying to get to the root of the issue. So I find it interesting that it's talked about how it's alternative medicine. There are many, many functional medicine doctors who have also been traditional medicine doctors in the past, and they became very disenchanted with the medical system. And it led them to do something different. And I've got a podcast on this where I interviewed my functional medicine doctor. That was very, very eye-opening for me because she gave that perspective of both traditional medicine and functional medicine. But it's all about getting to the root of the issue. Now, where it gets very complicated is that if you want to see a functional medicine doctor, your insurance is not going to cover that. But I will tell you that it is growing by leaps and bounds simply because people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're sick and tired of going to the doctor, being put on medications, and then having a whole nother host of symptoms and side effects, and then being sent to more doctors to be put on more medications. It is a disastrous cycle. And so I think eyes are starting to be opened, and people are just looking, they're searching for something different. And that's why it's growing. And so that's why it's so very important for people to understand they do have a choice. And it is well worth the investment to go and see someone that can truly address the issues that's happening instead of glossing over those issues or putting a Band-Aid on those issues. And that's what traditional medicine has done. It's just about sticking a Band-Aid and hoping that problem goes away. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't go away. We cannot address the issue until we get to the root of the issue. And so functional medicine is also lifestyle medicine. And people find it extremely empowering because they walk away with a plan of action that they've helped design, a plan of action that is right alongside and fits their personal health and their life. It's realistic for them. It's that approach that looks at things like food is fuel, and it's information, and it's medicine, and it's also connection. It looks at sleep and stress. It looks at positive psychology. It pulls in your strengths. What are you naturally gifted at, and how can we use your strengths to really help you see success on your health journey? So it's some of these things that are not obviously not going to show up on Wikipedia, but people that are sick and tired and go to functional medicine end up being very, very pleased and say the same thing. I wish I had done this sooner.
Yeah. And I think what you said about empowerment, I think is a super important point, because again, completely not undermining people like yourselves. You know, you did a whole dietitian degree and you had a master's, and there are people who spend so many years training to be a doctor. But I think the important point is to not give up ownership of your own health to somebody else.
Yes.
You know, it's your responsibility ultimately. And just because, let's say, on the government website that you are recommended to eat loads of grains, if that doesn't make you feel good, you should stop eating it. Like, it's not because the government said so, and therefore that's the only correct answer. And it's time for people to really reconnect and really try to figure out what works for you instead of listening to guidelines. Because I'll give an example, right? You go online, you shop for clothes. It looks great on that person.
Yes.
You buy it. And for someone short like me, usually sleeves are super long. And it's just a nightmare trying to find clothes that fit exactly me. Mm-hmm. And compared to, imagine if you had the ability to hem your own dresses, right? That's all I'm saying. It's not about poo-pooing anything that authorities say. It's just knowing how to customize that to your needs and your circumstances.
Yes, yes. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It's, and I love that example of looking at clothes online. There is not a one size fits all approach. There's just not. And that's why, you know, I think healthcare and, you know, just all of these diets, you know, we're assuming that we're all the same. We're all very, very unique and different. And there's not a one size fits all approach. And that's where, you know, health coaching really comes in, because you're getting that personalized attention, and that health coach is helping you come up with a customized strategy just for you that fits your life, that is realistic for you, instead of assuming that you're like everybody else.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, where the trap really is, right? It's not so much lack of information, because we all know that there is no lack of information these days.
Right.
But really to understand, because I think a lot of the times when having things like labels and guidelines are very, very useful, it is making us not really process these decisions ourselves. Yeah. I see a lot of people buying these products which are, you know, packaged in green, and it says, oh, it's multi-grain. And it was not until I pointed out to one of my clients that multi-grain is not the same thing as using whole grains.
Mm-hmm.
It just means it's used more than two kinds of grains.
Yes.
And yeah, I think that's, you know, the main message here from me is really take back ownership. Take back the responsibility, because it's not that difficult, right? Your body is very intelligent. If you eat something that doesn't sit well with you, remember that. Don't eat it next time.
Yeah, it's that mindfulness. It's that mindfulness. And we have to remember that we're all being deceived by very clever marketing. You know, these food companies are spending literally millions of dollars on marketing solely meant to deceive us. So it looks healthy when it's anything but. And so it's so very, what I find in my practice is that my clients, when they get to me, they are very, very confused and overwhelmed. And it's because there's so much confusing and conflicting information out there. They go into the grocery store, which is a whole nother ordeal. Very, very, very confusing. And so I love it. As I've clients have met with me, and after that first session, they've said, oh my goodness, this was like a breath of fresh air. And they felt like, for the first time in their life, I can do this. I can implement some of these very small changes. And that's what we want people to feel like. We want them to be empowered. We want them to feel like, I can do this. I've taken my health in my own hands, and I can do this. And it's not about buying a certain product that happens to have fantastic marketing. It's about that empowerment and making those very small changes, because those add up to very big results.
So could you actually tell us, what is functional medicine in terms of what does it include? What does it look at?
Functional medicine is truly the encompassing of looking at our body as an entire system that works together. It is encompassing body, mind, and soul. And so that's what I love the most about it. It's not ignoring emotional and mental health. It's not ignoring spiritual health. It is putting those with the physical health to help someone see harmony in their life. And it's looking at food as four different things. It looks at food as fuel. So that's what we've always been taught. That's what makes sense to us. Your body needs fuel, like your car needs gas, and it's giving your body the fuel that it needs so that you have the energy to keep going. But it also looks at food as information. So that food is telling your body what to do. So you kind of have to, it's like computer programming. What kind of information are you giving your body? It also looks at food as medicine, meaning that food has the ability to heal and restore. It has very, very huge benefits. And this is looking at food from a real food approach, spending most of your time in that produce section at the grocery store, because those foods truly have the ability to heal us. And then finally, it doesn't ignore the importance of food as connection. It is what brings us together. I mean, you know, back before, you know, this awful pandemic, when we could truly get together with one another and enjoy a meal. I mean, can you imagine going to a celebration and not having food? And so I love the aspect that it looks at food as fuel and information and medicine, but it doesn't ignore the fact that food is also connection. And then in this whole life, whole body, mind and soul approach, you know, we would say that functional medicine is lifestyle medicine. So it's looking at the importance of hydration and elimination and hormone balance and thyroid health and truly getting to the root of the issue. It's looking at the importance of sleep and the importance of stress management. And those are things that often get ignored, because what happens is that we are so focused. You know, we're coming up on January, and January happens to be a notorious month for weight loss and restriction. And so, so often everyone thinks it's just about calories in versus calories out, and just increase your exercise and follow this diet, and that's all you need to do. And we have got to look at We've got to look deeper. This is not as straightforward as it may seem. We've got to look at stress management. What is driving us to certain behaviors? And right now, we're coping with these overwhelming feelings and emotions. We're coping with food and alcohol. And so functional medicine really gets to the root of all of that. It's a very, very in-depth, personalized approach, where people are seeing such amazing results. And these are people who've been very, very frustrated and disheartened by what they've experienced in the past in the traditional healthcare setting.
What's been different between your previous, I guess, career as a dietitian compared to being a functional health coach now?
Well, it's night and day, to be honest. I haven't worked as a traditional dietitian in years and years and years and years. Mm. Now having my own practice as a functional medicine certified health coach, the difference is a dietitian is more focused on diet and disease management. And a functional medicine certified health coach is also focused on food, of course, but also focused on some of those lifestyle things like sleep and stress and positive psychology. And really helping someone to connect the dots. A session with a functional medicine certified health coach looks a little bit more like brainstorming. I'm doing a lot more listening than I'm doing talking at somebody. Talking at somebody is not going to help them see results. Me brainstorming with them and helping them connect the dots and helping them develop their action plan makes the biggest difference in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I know in some other industries as well, there is a trend in this of a more collaborative way of working. So we're not trying to solution anything straight away, but let's actually talk about what the issues are, go down to the details, and then come up with a solution together. Because I think when it comes to health and nutrition, that's the only way that it will stick.
Yes, it really is. And that's what we want. We want people to see results. We want them to be empowered. We want them to be encouraged. And frankly, so many people are struggling right now. There's not a whole lot of encouragement. And that was even before we got hit with COVID. So, you know, people struggle so very much. And this is so much more than just giving somebody a diet and sending them on their way.
Yeah. And actually, I was going to then come to this question of, would you be able to give us, well, give our listeners three actionable, sorry, before I go into that, is there anything else, any other big topic you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I think the main thing is people need encouragement. You know, they don't need to be talked down to. They don't need to be made to feel guilty and ashamed. And we're about to come into January, and all of the marketing tactics are going to make you feel guilty and ashamed. Guilty for how you've treated your health in the past, and ashamed. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot move forward when you're living in guilt and shame. And so it's so important to be able to release some of that so that you can move forward. And it's important to get the help that you need. And that's from a professional who's had some training. Just because someone is a social media influencer, or just because someone happens to work for a company where you haven't had any training, but you call yourself a health coach, it doesn't mean that person is qualified to truly help you. So I would encourage our listeners, interview very, very carefully when you're considering working with somebody. Ask about their education, ask about their experience, ask about their training. But most importantly, see if they're a good fit for you. Do you connect? That's the most important thing. Can they help you motivate change in your life? Do you walk away from that session feeling empowered and encouraged? Or do you walk away feeling guilty and ashamed and overwhelmed, like, I can't do this? So choose carefully and ask those tough questions about the education and the experience and their style of coaching, and make sure you've got a connection with that person. So I think that's the most important thing, but everybody needs help. I have a health coach. I've used counseling in the past. I mean, I have got resources to help me. Do I know the right answers? Sure. But we all need some help and support, especially right now. So I would encourage people, seek that help that you need. You do not have to have it all figured out. You do not have to do this on your own. You do need some help and support. And that help and support is out there.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And coming towards the end of our conversation, I would like to invite you, Jennifer, to give our listeners three actionable tips to look after their health.
Yes, I would love to do that. So number one, you heard me say this before, number one is practice mindfulness. And that is the art of listening to your body. What is your body telling you? You know, sometimes your body is just sending you some signals like, hey, drink some more water. Like, I'm thirsty. Get some sleep. Like, you're really, really tired. And, you know, sometimes we have to make those decisions. We go from being mindful and recognizing, hey, I need some sleep, to being very intentional. So a good example of this is recognizing late at night, okay, am I going to stay up and have that extra glass of wine and watch a Netflix? Or do I need to drink some water and get in bed so that my body can get the restorative sleep that it needs? So speaking of number two, I would say really, really focus on stress management and getting some sleep. These two really can go hand in hand. Most people have no idea that a poor night's sleep really influences what you're choosing to eat the next day. So it really affects our dopamine and our serotonin, and it increases that hunger hormone. So you're hungrier, you're craving sweets. So not getting sleep is very, very pivotal and truly affects what you choose to eat the next day. With regard to stress management, stress dramatically increases inflammation in the body. An inflamed body is going to be a body that is more likely to get sick, to get disease, and also to gain weight. So we have to address that root issue of inflammation, and addressing stress is one of the best ways to do that. Again, this plays into mindfulness. Hey, what's my body doing when I'm stressed out? Am I getting kind of short of breath? Am I tensing my shoulders, my jaw? Am I getting headaches or belly aches? Recognize what your body's doing when stressed, and then find something to help dial back that stress response. That might be meditating or deep breathing or just taking a very brief walk outside or maybe coloring or journaling. But there's so many ways to manage that stress, and it doesn't have to be huge, but something to help your body dial back that stress response, especially right now. That stress is really damaging and weakening the immune system. So I can't say enough about getting some sleep and managing that stress. And finally, the last thing that I would say, number three, is use a real food approach. There's going to be a lot of fancy marketing. We're going to see it literally December 26th is when this will really kick in. You're going to see a lot of programs and a lot of marketing designed to make you feel guilty and ashamed and buy these certain products. So it will just transform your life. Use a simple real foods approach, and that is primarily plant-based foods, spending more time in that produce section of the grocery store, especially if you can shop small. If there's any way to do that, shop local, that's always ideal. But if you can't, just spending more time with those fruits and those vegetables, that real foods approach. I like to call this addition versus subtraction. Instead of focusing on here's everything I can't have, which leads you to crave certain foods, focus on, hey, what do I need to add in that will truly benefit my health, that will truly nourish my body? So that number three is use a real foods approach and focus on addition versus subtraction. So those are my top three tips for really improving your health and moving forward into 2021.
I love all of them, especially the last one. That's exactly what I tell my people as well, plus not minus. And that extends into habits. It because does. If you are truly doing a lot of self-care routines, you will not have time to sit there and watch reality TV. And you will feel so much better.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
And the final question from me, Jennifer, is always my favorite question to ask my guests. What is the one food that always takes you to your happy place?
Oh, goodness. I've got several favorite foods. So I might shock you with this one because, you know, I think of it as a meal. And I love a good steak. I really love a good steak. But I like a good steak with baked potato and then like either broccoli or asparagus. So I think that would be my favorite meal because it's just very comforting, especially if that steak is fixed really, really well. But that is just like my comfort meal.
Yeah.
And that's it for this episode of Neighborhood Nutritionist. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you've really enjoyed it and learned something you can take away with you today. If you could take a second to share this episode with one person you think will love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. See you soon!